Hello again and welcome to another interview. I'm speaking today with Linda Cortese Crane. She's a holistic health practitioner who's also a psychic who builds people's character and self-esteem and helps them develop self-worth and leads them on a spiritual growth. She's worked with a large number of clients, both in her local area but also worldwide. Clients as far away as Russia and Germany. She's also dealt with people of all ages, children, adults, and pets as well. The sort of work that Linda's been working has been dealing with is people through the medical practitioner fields, working with hospitals, working with crisis centres, and also with her own private practice. She's led a very interesting life, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring her on to be out so that you could hear her, and to see how she approaches the idea of confidence, of building self-esteem, and also gaining a better awareness of yourself, as well as a better relationship with, let's just say, for life itself. So, Linda, I'd like to welcome you on. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
One of the things that we've been talking about recently is your trip around Europe, and at the moment we're in London, and for instance, even though you're from America, you've been telling me about some of the places that you've been to and some of the experiences that you've been having. Do you want to just give us a bit of an idea of some of the things you were mentioning about when you're traveling, for instance, in France and some of the other countries?
Well, first we went to Italy, and being 100% Italian, I think I can say this okay, but I feel that the people, when I was in Italy as well as Sicily, seemed to be stuck in an energy mode of the past. They seem to be very hooked into their old ways of doing things, even unconsciously so. And I noticed that a lot, where the energy just felt a little bit too stagnant. And working with energy as an energy healer, I'm sensitive to energies and understanding how people relate to things. And my senses were broadened in the sense that when we went to Paris, it felt like the people there were a little more, you felt a little more room, you felt a little more space around them, you felt a little more easy flow, a little more that they were trying to accept life a little bit more joyously and open up a little bit. Although I did feel that there was still an old way and style of doing things. And coming now to England, I feel, for the short time I've been here, I've seen people being a little more free also with the way that they open up to learning new things. But they still have their old patterns also. So it seems like a Europe thing so far. Not the same as an island feel like people in Hawaii.
Gotcha.
You know, different style.
One of the things that might be beneficial is, can you give us a bit of an understanding of what you mean when you say energy? You see, some people, they might hear that term and might sort of reject it a bit or say that's a little bit weird or something. But having spoken with you before, and I know that I've spoken about energy and other such things, I'm curious and would like to hear from you. How do you define this term that you're using, energy?
Everything in, through, and around about us is about energy, whether we understand that or not. Even our breath, there's an energy to our life force. And we handle it differently, each culture, individually as human beings. And that energy life force is what fulfills us and what stops us and what makes us grow and become more evolved as we go about our life. So when we talk about things in a holistic fashion, we're talking about the energy of the whole being in the sense of the physical self, the mental self, the emotional self, and then the spiritual self, which truly is not a religious thing, but it is the essence of us, and it is that part that is the cohesive glue, so to speak, that holds everything else about us together. So when we open up that energy and we allow it to flow like the meridians in the body, like the Chinese acupuncturists would use their flowing energy, or the qi or the ki, any of those words are flowing energies within us, then we get a sense of what how we vibrate. So everything in the world is about sound and vibration. And that's what energy is all about. That's what we mean. What is the quality of you?
Okay.
How do you vibrate?
So what I'm wondering then is, can you give us an example of something like, how does that manifest itself in somebody's day-to-day life? The average person who, how does what they feel or how they interact with the world, how does the energy concept help them?
Well, how they relate to how they're thinking relates to how they're feeling, and that brings about an energy of the way that they go about handling their life. And so if they don't change their thoughts, they don't change their thinking, they don't change their attitudes, they don't change their ways, they get stuck and they continue on that path until something else in them says, no, there needs to be another way, and they move that within themselves, that essence, to make their energy show in a different way, lighter, brighter, more fulfilled, and more self-empowered. They give themselves more confidence and more self-esteem by changing something within their essence, which is their energy.
So would it be fair to say that the energy is a way that they could look at themselves or others and get a bit of a summation, a very quick, like, how is somebody's, all these things you mentioned, their attitude, their beliefs, their emotions, their mentality, their spirituality, all of these things in one here, how do you feel about them? Is that one way of looking at it? This is like a very quick way of getting all of that.
Yeah, and also, you might relate it to when you hear about music. Music is an energy. And you know that when you hear certain music, you feel one way or another about it. Everyone has their particulars. But
and usually pretty instantly as well.
Yes, and that's an energy. Or you know that you say, I went into that room and boy, I couldn't wait to leave. I just felt so uncomfortable in there. Or I was around these people and I just felt so good when I was there. That's your gut instinct. That's your energy within yourself telling you, I'm in the right place for me. I'm feeling good and I'm flowing with that. Or I'm stuck.
Yeah.
So in your life, if you feel like that is just like these people that I mentioned in different parts of Italy and in France, and the energy and Moss that we had seen together, looking at everyone, that is a style that they can keep themselves in a habit patterns in our own ways and not fulfill our intentions because we didn't give enough thought or enough feeling to changing the vibration by which we're doing something.
Sure.
And we have only that capability. No one else can really do that for us, but they can show us the way, or they can lead us to our self-empowerment, and they can give us skills, and give us things to help us to do that, if we are open to it.
Well, one of the things that I'm wondering then is, how did you come across this whole area then? This is obviously something that you're passionate about and have been able to help many people around the world. How did you get to be where you are and helping all these people do discover and develop and understand their own energies?
When I was very little, I guess I started off like this, okay? I was a child psychic, and how that got interpreted is I couldn't play hide-and-go-seek with anybody because they just couldn't play with me. I would always find where everything was, and that's how that started. So it was like at the beginning I was seeing and noticing things that other people didn't, and I thought everybody else did.
Okay.
That was one of the things. And then I had a family who was interested in nutrition and health, and I received all that information and support while I was growing up as a young girl. And so I understood about herbs and how to naturally take care of the body, and I enjoyed that very much.
Okay.
As I got older, I was very interested. I was also a child artist, and eventually did have one of my degrees in being a fine art.
Yeah.
And through art, I was able to understand more of how to put things together, and my art had always this look into things. It was always like, Magritte was one of the artists who put different juxtapositions of things together. And so I always had a psychological look into my art. That's what my teachers would say. So then
I fairly intuitive in the sense, in the way that you approached it.
So I loved understanding about character and human nature and how to do that. I was led towards astrology, a science of, you know, how your own energies really are working, and it's with psychology. It's very interesting, and so artistically, I wanted to know more about that, and human nature was very important to me. So I started on that role of life, and began to just keep up with it. It just became something I loved.
Okay. So at one point, did you decide that this is something you actually wanted to do more than just a hobby?
Yes, because it was who I was. And I always wanted my job to be who I was. What I did was not different from the kind of job I did.
Yeah, so, and you've been doing this for a while as well. How long have you been doing this?
Well, like I said, from childhood on, and my jobs were always about psychology and nature and art, and so I just kept on that. So this is really, you know, my own business and things that I developed and continued with, and quite a long resume of things from it, because just started.
So what was it, 20 years or something like that from what you were talking about earlier?
And just keep going with it, because there's always something new, and you have to keep up with what's changing, because the world is changing, and people are always wanting to do something more for themselves, and just being led because of my own truth in it, being led to the right places and the right things to do to help clients, self-empower themselves.
So one of the things that that I noticed when we were talking earlier is that you were working with some hospitals and working on the staff there, so to speak. And what I'm curious to know is, how does somebody who calls himself a psychic and who works in the holistic side of things deal with people like doctors and nurses who are very much clinical and very much this is what it is? How were those times as far as shaping what you do and what you learned? What sort of things did you get out of that time period when you were working there?
You meet people where they're at in life. Even if you have different perspectives of which that you see things, there's a common level that you can always work on. And so we talk to them from what they understand and broaden those perspectives without having to use words that might not be comfortable for them, but they're interested in results. And so I would get, people would say to me, "You have your PhD in results." And I would say, "Thank you," because, yeah, it seems to be that what the hospitals were giving me are people that they could not help.
Yeah.
And so that was the
sort of
part,
like fixing the people who they couldn't fix.
That was it. And it was because they didn't have the whole. They didn't have the holistic approach.
Okay.
And they were interested in more of the physical. And to move someone from a problem state, their problem may not be in the physical body. You may have the best doctor with the highest standards and all the latest intervening needs for the patient. But they don't get better, and the reason is that the problem is not in the physical. It's in one of the other bodies first. It's either in the spiritual body, the mental body, or the emotional body. And unless those are taken care of, the physical body won't change.
Okay.
It'll go back to staying the way it is.
Is there, you mentioned that people can only be, in some respects, invited to change or have some stimulus or input from the outside, but generally it sounds like a lot of the work that people need to do comes from within. Would I be right in saying that side of things?
Yes, you'd have to want to, because holistic has that approach that says you are responsible and you have your insights and you have a say in how things go for you. So you don't have to be sentenced to, my doctor says I have to take this, or my doctor says that this is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. No, your will and your integrity for that, and your willingness to make things change, your intentions, because life absolutely proceeds out of your intentions for it.
Okay.
So,
in other words, somebody could be guided to be able to do this sort of thing I was about to say they could be guided to do this by themselves, but it sounds like even with somebody helping them, they are guiding and doing it themselves.
No doctor absolutely ever really healed you totally. It was you in combination with that doctor that did the healing. I mean, you can have someone give you an operation that you desperately need, but after you come out of that, you still have to work to get yourself into that frame of mind to get better.
What traditional medicine would call the recovery period or so forth, is that?
That's right. And we all have to constantly be aware each day of good thoughts to help empower the thing that the doctor's already helped us do, which is very good because I consider myself not an alternative, but an integrative holistic health practitioner. Because to me, alternative means one against the other, which is not my way of doing things. I feel that if you need an operation, there's nothing better than Western medicine, clearly and quickly, and to work that out.
Yep.
But complementary to me means sort of on the fringe, you know, like I'm just a little edge complement to what has already happened. And I don't feel that either. There is really, truly a place for integrative medicine.
Okay. So it sounds like then that there's a path that people can go through to integrate all of that, and that it goes beyond just mere positive thinking and self-help words and so forth. It sounds that you're actually, there's a large body of science and understanding that goes into what you do with this integrative work.
Yes.
Okay, so in that sense, we've all heard things like it helps to be happy and it helps to be beneficial when you're trying to recover and laughter is a good medicine and so forth. But it sounds like in the work that you do, you're guiding people to go in a way that goes far beyond. It's like positive thinking on steroids, so to say.
You have to feel it, see, because again, everything in life is vibratory. It's sound and it's vibration. And that's where it changes at that level. To just say it, you know, affirmations, without that underlying basis of, yes, within me I really have that feeling, nothing will change. So it's getting people to understand how to empower themselves and work with that at that subatomic level to really stimulate all the other cells and all the other things that they want to do to heal.
So do you have any people that you've helped actually do this to be able to feel it at this level and to either get some sort of... they ended up getting some sort of results in the process, but you were able to guide them in this manner to really feel it like you're talking about. Can you give us some examples maybe of some people or situations that might have occurred like that?
I will talk about myself first and say
started,
okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, with some of the energy work of things called the Bach flower remedies or batch flower remedies, they are things that work on the mental emotional healing. And when I was getting a divorce many years ago, I found that they were very helpful in calming me so that I could do whatever I had to do on a daily basis to get through things, as well as to get over things that were mentally, emotionally stopping me from enjoying my life again. So I have to have firsthand knowledge when I work with people on many things so that I know that I have the confidence to say, this does work, so maybe you would like to try it also.
Sure, plus, like a human guinea pig doing your own thing yourself.
And I've always been that way.
Yeah.
I've been that way with herbs, and I've never felt that I would ever be hurt by any of the things I ever tried. I was very confident and very, very fortunate, luckily so, that has always been the case. Because my intention was this was going to be of help. And so that was always true. So when I ever tried something and I worked with it, I knew, oh, that's the study to go to. That's the thing that will be of interest to me. And it always made me feel better about not only myself, but I'm really getting on to where my life work is about, which is, you know, helping myself, energy work, helping others, and, you know, just life becoming much more of heaven here on earth.
Okay, cool. So when was that? I mean, was that while you were younger, or was this when you were going through some of the other, some of the work that you were doing?
Well, as I learned about herbs from a young child, I always liked the feeling of going to a dentist and having the family dentist say, I can never get any money out of your family, you know, because I just didn't have any problems with certain things that
yep.
most people would.
Yep.
So that to me was like an impetus to keep going on things. I just enjoyed it. That was just me.
Yeah.
So I always studied sciences and anything that had to do with health and nutrition and psychology and all of my studies in that area, plus all my art background, so I could bridge left and right brain together. And it was very important to have as fulfilling a background, so the more I knew, the more I could support and help others in life. So then when I had my own life experiences happen, that's when you can really tell that a lot of the work that was done was really to help me as well as then others. So another instance happened when I never in my life had a cavity. Never had
yep.
any problem. But I was in my 30s, and wisdom teeth were starting to be a problem.
Okay.
So I had that removed after getting a couple different opinions. And that went into such a full scale infection that I almost died from what had happened. Well, my background in my own health and nutrition and things that I did was really what helped me. And I was able to come back from that. It took quite a while, but because I wasn't getting the right attention I needed, so I took matters in my own hands. And I did have help with a physical therapist with repositioning. You know, like the bones in my face grew to compensate for this infection that happened. It
wow.
was very, very
okay.
big. It stopped before my brain and before my heart.
Wow. Okay.
And so it was a life and death situation from something very simple.
Okay.
And so, and there was a very good surgeon that was doing the work. It was just one of those fluky things that maybe life was saying to me, well, now show me that you know what you've been given all this time and work on it.
Yeah,
so,
I gotcha.
So I did. And came back very, very well from it and learned a lot more about health and nutrition with juicing and different vegetarian way of living and a different lifestyle which would support. Because
so working
I had,
on the body component that you were talking about earlier.
Right.
Okay.
I also had, my face was paralyzed from this.
Is that right?
Actually, for a couple
I would
months.
Never been able to tell. Okay, so it's obviously not a, like, in any way, shape, or form.
It
right.
was very severe.
Wow, okay.
And so when the jaw gets repositioned, it ruins and it takes out all the other organs of the body are supported with the jaw.
And the jaw. Now, I've heard things
jaw.
Like the solar plexus. I've heard things like the core muscles. I've not heard the jaw.
The jaw.
Let us know a little
the
bit more about that.
Muscles and the organs in the body are related with the jaw quite a bit. And when that goes off, a lot of the body repositions itself.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of healing that had to be done in this area, and mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Yeah.
And so coming back to learning diet, nutrition, and working on all of that supported me again in saying, yeah, you're on the right track, you know.
Okay.
And there were some doctors that could not assist and help with this. The same way, because I did go to a couple of them.
Yeah.
And I even had a Chinese doctor look at me once and say, a medical doctor did this to you? You know, and this was a really good surgeon who was working on just removing these wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
So, fluky things like that.
You yeah.
know, so, but enough for me to say I established that I'm back to health again. You know,
okay, yep.
Through what I've learned.
Right. Now, that was one of the things that where you said that a physical action affected these other centers of your body. You've also done work with people who have severe emotional issues, be they, for instance, when you mentioned that you worked in the crisis centers and so forth, there would obviously be quite a few emotional areas in there. Did you see that there was also that same sort of imbalance going on, that if there was something quite traumatic in one area, as we're talking about now, the emotional area, that there were other symptoms or other signs going on that you as a holistic or integrative person was able to spot that other people might have missed, perhaps?
Yes, I would say that's very true But it was always, the end result was always the person that was going to either allow the healing or continue on the same track that they were on. So one of the things I've learned in the profession is that sometimes people like to stay in the position that they're in, being ill, because it's good for them, because they won't have to change their way of living, or the people around them will, if they got better, might not react to them the same way. They may not be getting the same attention that they had before. So it fulfilled their needs to stay not as healthy as they could be because of what it is that it gave to them that they didn't want to lose or feared to lose. So sometimes
now, obviously not consciously.
And sometimes it was conscious.
Really?
And we did bring it out a couple times with some people, and they looked at it to work on it. But basically, you're right. It's mostly not on the conscious level.
Okay.
But when it comes to wanting attention, some of the people I noticed did know that. And wanted that same person. If they got better, they might have gotten a divorce.
Yeah.
And it might not have been to their benefit.
Okay.
So they kept it on the edge.
You know? Are there things that you can see that, as a result of all these years of working with people, that you can spot certain symptoms with people, or things that you might have spotted that they might need to go and speak to someone like yourself, or they might need to maybe investigate this further? Are there things that you might recommend to people?
And when it comes to their confidence, their self-esteem, or their hatred problems, or their pride, or things of that nature, there are a lot of elements in that they can get very wrapped up in, that they may need someone to help unwind that and see it, and show them how to get over their situations, so that they can really be free to move on, because the past is something that can haunt us. We can remember what happened in our past more sometimes than we can remember what we ate 2 days ago. Because
great analogy, I like that.
Because it's it's really something that stands out in our mind. And you'd even remember Alzheimer's patients talking about the past, where they were in many times and what happened then. But they're not here at the moment consciously about what's going on with them at this time. So it's the link in the sympathetic, parasympathetic brain that really takes a lot of our attention. And those are physical things that have to be linked with emotional, mental things to help with healing.
Yeah, okay.
And we have a lot of very good things. We have a lot of tools in the 21st century to help us put it all together, and that's really what we need. We need integrative work.
So what happens when somebody does... See, this might sound like a crazy question, but what happens when somebody does get balanced, integrated, and holistic? You see, the reason why I say that is some people might be listening to this going, oh, yeah, I'm integrated. Problem with my relationships, and I've got health issues, but yeah, I'm pretty on the balance. What's it actually like for somebody when they first become rebalanced, when they first become sorted out, for want of a better term? Do you get where I'm going there? How would you explain to somebody who thinks they're there, but they're not really? Do you see where I'm going there?
I think so. I would say they feel lighter. They feel more energetic. They feel more in control of their own life. They feel like, oh, the world is my oyster, and I can have what I really want. And they become more joy-filled, and they have a more confident attitude about themselves and about their future.
Cool. And I'm guessing that's not just a quick thing or something like that. That's fairly continuous on a long-term basis.
I think that energy is the basis. So if we're working on that energy, and when we decide to stop it going forward in that mindset of, yes, I'm doing better, and if we go back to our old habits or old ways of falling into things, then I would say, then they can repeat until they get to understand, you know, I've been there, done that, don't want it anymore.
Got it. So it's like philosophers when they say that there is no space where you become, where you have arrived, but rather it's a constant attention. So getting on on track and then continuing to stay there.
Right.
Okay.
Because once you feel you're there, you're always at a new level of beginning.
Mm.
It's always a continuation on a higher level.
Yeah.
So it's a never-ending, wonderful process to know that there are no limits.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Many of us have come in and understood that there are limits, you know, especially when we get into maybe our 40s or 50s, we've had an old mindset. But the children of today have less limits. They are able to see things quicker and more speedy, move forward on things. Their energy ideas are different. And so when you have all that baggage, you have to get rid of some of that and replace it with something better. There's never really a void. It has to be put in with something of the energy that feels better and good and wholesome and enlightening and energetic.
It's certainly something that I've seen with some of my long-term customers that have stayed with me for a while, that we get rid of some of the main issues right up front, and then by staying, they've actually grown and developed as well. And I'm guessing you'd probably have the same thing with some of your long-term clients as well, that they become, like you said, balanced and integrated, and then they start to become, there's extra levels and there's a continual process that they start to see unfolding before them. Does that pretty much summarize the sort of thing that you were just talking about there as to moving onwards?
Yes, because as you're feeling better and moving onwards, you're encountering new things that you haven't dealt with before. So you really get to know if you've really got it when this new element comes in, and then you say, I still feel great about this. Or, oh, it's bringing me back a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So it's a constant readjustment if you need it.
Yeah,
and,
cool.
And it's okay. And there's nothing better than feeling good.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I did ask you to, if there's some way that people could actually find out more about you, and I'm very thankful that you're able to put together a special CD offer that the listeners to this would be able to go and find out more. They can go, for instance, if you wanted to just very briefly mention some of that, I can give the details of where to get that.
Well, I have a website that people can go to, which is holisticdynamics.com, HOLISTICDYNAMICS.com. And they can reach me for an email at linda@holisticdynamics.com.
Cool. The other thing is also that what we've got is we've put together a special CD for people to be able to, for them to be able to actually experience what you've been talking about. And that, I think, is really cool. This is the ability where people can, by using one simple flower and being able to work with that, that they can actually get their mental and emotional detox happening, which I thought was a pretty cool idea when I heard about that. So you can get a detox of all of these things that are going on very, very simply, and you're showing people how to do that.
And they can also have a combination of these flowers for, say, up to 7 different issues that they have at once. And
you show them how to do all of that as well, and really get to test drive this as well, and see what you're talking about, so they can experience it in their life when they become balanced and work on that aspect.
It's totally self-help.
Yep.
And 100% safe, and over 70 years tested.
Cool. Which is also what we were saying anyway, is that when you learn how to do it, it's really you just doing it anyway. So in some respects, you're guiding people how to do that. Well, what we can do is there's going to be a link on my website which will link directly to that. The website will be instantcalmness.com/Linda. Nice and simple there. That can point there, and we'll also be able to get it. That way people can actually try it out. I'll make sure that you have the people listening to this will have that link as well. So they can I really recommend that they try this out, so they can actually get to see what it's like when they get to work on that aspect and really see how light they can make themselves and how much easier it was afterwards.
Try it, you'll like it.
Yeah. Great. Well, I really want to thank you for coming along here and having this interview. Much appreciated. Also, we got a lot of value out of that. So thanks very much, Linda.
Thank you.